on behalf of Kama Thuksum Chuling Buddhist Meditation Center. And I've been told, and also I feel, today weather temperature is much comfortable than yesterday. So hopefully everybody enjoy it. Before I go into the talk, or go talking about subject, today's subject, I want to announce the consecration of statues and the filling of the statue gonna be starting soon. And the left side of me, there are some statues there. So if you have a statue not consecrated and it's empty or not consecrated by Lama, it's good to consecrate it. Consecration has something to do with relics and some of the mantras, and there is a lot of process go inside the statue. Just like humans have a lot of things inside the stomach or inside the body, statues are not feeling the mantras and relics inside. It's like human, no guts, nothing inside, only outside skin and bone, similar like that. Based on that system, so consecration is very good, and it's usually done with somebody know how to do it, and somebody has a position, or might say lamas, or the monks, or somebody done more special, or nuns, somebody in a retreatants, then rather than just ordinary people cannot really do it himself or herself. But one thing, if you bring statue here, you better put your name tag tightly, because we might just take, this is a gift and anybody can take. So do not ask me. I don't take any statue away. I might give away if there's no name. So keep that in mind. So that's my announcement. So we are trying to do the 2015. During 2015, we tried to do not only teaching, but not only teaching from the Buddhist text. Over the years, we give some titles. Each Sunday, we talk, and mainly very short period of time meditation. And year 2015, I'm hoping we will extend meditation a little bit longer, and talk will be also perhaps a little shorter and more condensed, you might say, more highlight. To follow that rule and regulation, to follow that system, so we're going to start with meditation. Since this center is a name, Kama Thuksum Chuling Meditation Center, if we don't meditate, then name doesn't go well with what we try to do here. Now, you have to help me to do that, because we are a team. They say, no teacher, no student. No student, no teacher. So that we are Tibetan Buddhists, they call interdependent. And we are interconnected and interdependent each other, believe it or not. So we're going to do meditation now. I always ask you that when you meditate, when you see it, your structure of the bone and whole body is like an arrow, and an arrow is upside down. But the arrow is not leaning forward or backward or side. It will be straight. Those of you sit on a chair hoping your main body will be straight, main portion of your body is straight. So every time we sit, you need to remember that. So if I see everybody sitting properly, then I may not have to say much about that. The reason I have to say is I see people sitting not straight, and then that caught on my attention, or that make me say something on that, if you understand what I mean. The best part of the sitting meditation is it's not really sitting, it is oneness. Oneness what? Wherever your body is touched, on the ground, cushion, solid oneness. And no pressure, no heaviness, none of those. No stress, no uncomfortable, no irritation. Everything is... I may even have said this last time, so I have to repeat again because there are some new people. If you remember what I said last time, is distribute your mass or the weight is distribute equally up in the space and down on earth and forward, backward, and side with your body. If you can do that, it becomes so harmonized that there is no sense of time. There is no sense of problem. It will be free from sense of time, sense of pressure. All of those will be non-exist if you know what I say. If you can do what I just said. On top of that, seven Virojana postures commonly used. And those seven Virojana postures or gestures or positions that we have in a book, the Lama Didorje books has even an illustration and one by one. Because he needs to sell the book so he becomes famous and rich. If not, he might buy an extra one more copy. Whatever reason may. It says that famous and rich without effort happens, so be it. But with a lot of effort about famous and rich, it's not recommended. If you understand what I mean. But anyway, if you remember seven Virojana gestures, every time at your home, at your traveling, or wherever when you meditate, you need to remember the framework, physical part of the sitting. Because the physical part of the sitting positions has something to do with the mental sitting. Because the mental and the physical are interconnected. It's good to learn how to see it, That way, not only physical sitting that you can do, but also mentally you can sit and relax. If you can do that, then perhaps 75% of all stress, anxiety will be subsided. Simply, you know how to sit properly, and you know how to sit properly mentally and physically. Knowing these two helps release or reduce stress, anxiety. What kind of stress, anxiety we're talking about here is normally something really bother you. Something really occupied your mind more than you like to. That's stress. That's anxiety. That's worry. That is what I call concerned. No one seems free from those. Nevertheless, some have more than others. There are some seats in front and middle. If you need to look around, come up. Yeah, come up in the middle and look for spots. Don't be shy. So, it's very important that we have concerns and worry, and how we can separate momentarily. Even short period of time, if you manage to rest your mind, absence of stress and anxiety will benefit the rest of entire your day. This is that powerful. It is like all kinds of food eating all day, but the end of their little dessert, very good one, and whole day eating, you just forget because this dessert is so good. Now, this dessert is a part of the resting the mind and actual meditation. It's all about. I recommend that everybody aim that, and everybody should experience the actual resting the mind. Absence of anxiety, absence of irritation, absence of anxiety and stress. There is a word called oneness. If your mind and consciousness and soul and thoughts all not oneness, there is no oneness for you. The external things that what you perceive, if you can't bring that internally inside yourself, there will be no oneness. The oneness means it's a one for everything, everything for one. That understanding, that experience is based on how good you meditate. And another word I can use is how skillful and how smart you that you manage to rest one-pointedly your mind. How smart, how intelligent you are you depends on how profoundly can you rest. Profound, deep, deeply, profoundly, how you can rest one-pointedly. The opposite of not resting is what we have. 24-hour day, even a dream state, we are always everywhere. In other words, you never ever to control your thoughts. You never ever to leave them alone in a natural state. You're always one or multiple distractions, thoughts, one after the other. So your attention is always all over, day and night. In the meantime, pain, suffering, other side effects, a lot of problems that you have to face on top of that. According to teaching, over the years, over the course of life, all of those multiple more increase rather than decrease, because you're not working on a decrease part, you are increasing all the time. In other words, if you are 40, 50, 60 years old, you manage to collect problems and stress pretty good size. If there is a measurement for the size, it will be a pretty good size already. You manage to accumulate it. The counteract, you could not accumulate anything. The counteract will be remedy, or remedy, maybe word remedy, antidote. The antidote is leave your mind alone in a natural state. Let your mind rest wherever want to rest, or whenever want to rest. I think I have other subject to talk, so let's meditate. Thank you, Starbucks Coffee. next part is there is a new big Buddha statue outside, and it was effort with effort by a guy and Lama Dorje. Certainly they thought they need to go state cell, and then an end of seeing a big Buddha, and the prices are out of range, and they began to think that they can get this negotiating. And the next thing is the Buddha statue is right here in the Karma Thiksin Chuling property. It is an effort. It is a great effort. And it is a gift. It's a great gift for KTC Dallas. We managed to do that, and we are very happy about it. We might need some help, which we probably talk a little bit later. I want to talk today about the why it's important statues or paintings and statues, and also why it's important to be part of. You see behind me, they might have a lot of Buddha statues, and why we have to have that. And I, based on that, I'm going to talk today. And this is we never talked that, and I thought it might be very good to talk about that. And what type of benefits we will have by purchasing statues or making offerings and buying stuff like that. So I come to the point, according to Buddhist text, it's called, root text is called Kunchon Chubi Ni Georgia. Tangjin Tudan Kun Georgia, Rigdon de Batsan Georgia, Lenjapulung Gor Georgia. These are the four poem or the Shologan teachings direct. Now, let me translate that for you. So now I'm the translator as well as acting as Lama. So the translation is Kunjun Chobe Ni Georgia. First sentence is, how we please, how we show respect to our ultimate Buddha. And ultimate spiritual sources. How we benefit, how we show respect, how we make offering to ultimate our spiritual sources. Spirituality, the spiritual sources. So when we buy a statues, especially not only for your own benefit, but for the community when you buy that. So then what happening here is you will benefit all the beings who come to contact with the Buddha statue. Regardless of their driving scenic route or they're lost, just drive around and try to get out, but then they run in to see the Buddha. Or majority people, when you see the Buddha statue, and if you have your karmic tendencies, your karmic connection is ripening, then as soon as you see the Buddha statue, it gives you smile. The smile, behind your smile, has some kind of relaxation, some kind of good about it. You just don't know what it's all about, but just feel good about it. That much benefit you're contributing. If it's 1,000 people happen that, you're benefiting 1,000 people. 100,000 people benefiting, you benefit 100,000 people. Simply, you buy one statue for the community. If the Buddha's Bodhisattva, after all, if they ever pleased, that would be the please them. Because you reach that many people for blessings. Because you make that happen. If the Buddha has any sense of pleasing or not pleasing, then that will be pleasing because you're making thousands and thousands of human beings come to contact with that Buddha and making that much happiness. So that's number one. Not only that, if I talk about a little bit more elaborate, means a little bit more detail, you are pleasing all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in the universe. You're pleasing all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, enlightened beings, regardless what name they call. You are pleasing because you are benefiting countless beings. So, it's called Tibetan, Sokyu Sanje Tamje. Buddhas in the past, pleased. Buddhas in the future, pleased. Buddhas in the present, all pleased. Because your generous contribution buying a big Buddha, now thousands, tens of thousands of people benefit by seeing them, by feel energy. I want to change the energy around here, miles and miles around here, every direction. And I want to benefit miles and miles every direction, people around here. They feel blessed, they feel comfortable, they feel happy about it. I want to have something very unique, special. Nowhere else you can find except right you find here. I want to feel that way, people. Not because I have ego, because everybody needs harmony, happiness. Everybody deserves happiness and harmony. That happiness and harmony comes from Buddha's blessings. Past Buddha, present Buddha, future Buddhas. You're making connection with all Buddhas in three times. That is other reason that why we buy Buddha statues. Perhaps a Buddha's a Bodhisattva is not looking for material gain or name and fame. And a Buddha's and Bodhisattva don't need anything because they have everything. Unenlightened beings need everything because they always have shortage. And they always want more. Even though you have more than you can chew on, the more than you can eat on, the more than you can handle on, but you are experiencing poverty because you feel like, I don't have enough. This is the other people. But I don't have enough. Your mentality, your poverty, mentality, you don't have enough. As long as you're suffering from poverty mentally, actuality, even you have more than you can eat, more than you can handle, does not really help anything. But unenlightened beings need material. The more we have, the more we need it. The more we accumulate, the more we urge to get more. This is a part of the practice called attachment. This is a part of the practice called ego, cherishing. Your ego says need more. So, regardless of Buddhism, Bodhisattva, or ultimately your source of enlightenment, whether they need material or not, for sure you need a material. At least you know you need the material. You need the name. You need the fame. You need the secure. Even though conversation, people might say, I don't care those, Lama. I'm not worried about those. It's just you saying, that's not really mean you don't need. Deep down, you don't want to talk. You need those. As long as you need those, then here it says, you have to accumulate merit. You have to accumulate wisdom. The accumulating wisdom and the merit is only available when you let it go. When you make offering. When you buy things for the benefit of others. In this case, anything, everything to do with the Buddha Dharma Sangha shrine room for the community, it's for everybody. You're doing something for everybody. When everybody is more powerful, when you include everybody, it's more powerful than I need, I want, singular. It's one person. One person's fulfillment of their ultimate goal very much depend on everybody else. So everybody else, you learn to share everybody else, make offering, and let it go, and consider other people's needs. It's very, very important in the practice of Buddhism. Last, about the first sentence, Tenkyewa Tramiranga Kung. One lifetime accumulation of merit and wisdom by making offering to the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, it may be very small. But you forgot many lifetimes how much did you make offering and accumulate the merit, wisdom, by making offering to Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Countless lifetime, how much did you done? And some of this result is, they say, living right now, that what you are and who you are, sort of speaking. So this is the cover with the first sentences, and therefore, but I have to make short. The translation of the four sentences, this is the first one. The second one is, it's called, second is called, Tamji Tudang Kanjur Chek. Tamji Tudang Kanjur Chek has something to do with your personal protectors, angels, God, Goddess, or they call spirit, your personal spirit, something to do with that. They're very happy when you're healthy and strong. When you do positive things, they also help you. But when you do negative things, they turn around and they're against you. And when they're against you, then within yourself, two things or three things against each other, and you remain in between. You can't make the decision because there's three things happening, pulling in the three different ways, and you have a dilemma that you don't know what to follow, what not to follow. Let's not talk that too much. Next. Next one is a Rigdodeva Sanjurje, third one. Rigdodeva Sanjurje is a really gets me tension. The word Rigdodeva Sanjurje means how can you fulfill desire of all living beings? How can you fulfill? How can you meet? How you can fulfill somebody's needs? Says you've done no more. How can you do that? We are talking about infinite number of beings. Why? Because we have infinite number of relationships with infinite number of beings. That was the reason, infinite number of beings. And a practical point of view, can you fulfill your near and dear ones? Or your relationship is kind of so-so. Kind of there, not too good. You can't get out, you can't get out, you can't get in. In other words, you can't make a change, but you're stuck there. What kind of relationship you have? We are talking about perhaps even one person that is the most mean to you something, most important to you, or most troublemaker for you, or most difficult to deal with. It's not that person is difficult to deal with, it's that person you know a little more than others. It's not that person is the most difficult person to deal with, it's just that person you know a little more than the other peoples that you like to know but you don't know well. So if you have a dilemma, one person to fulfill their wish, their desire, how can you fulfill infinite number of beings? Since we do have relationship with infinite number of peoples, even this single lifetime, you probably have many friends. You probably have many important people touch your heart, your soul. You have relationship where your knowledge came from. You have relationship where your physical come from. You have a relationship all your surviving where they come from. Who helped you? Your education. Who helped you, who you are now, help with the many, many beings, collector beings, what you are now. So you do have a lot of connection with the being. So how can you, if you have difficulty to fulfill one person's wish and desire, how can you fill countless, infinite number? Buying Buddha statue, buying things for the community, and making offering out of your pocket, emptying your pocket, or at least partially you empty your pocket doing, it's equally you accumulating merit and wisdom on behalf of all your relationships and the sentient beings that you have. So this is the very important Rigdodeva Sanjurje, that to fulfillment of desire and wish of other sentient beings is your work, it's your task, and you may not able to do what you like to do. But you should not give up according to Buddhism and that is part of your practice. Last but not least, lencha pulun sanjorje, and that is a very dangerous one, and it's a base on a Buddhism. Of course, for you to believe this, you have to be Buddhist. And if you are non-Buddhist, you might go, you don't really, it bothers you because you don't believe it, so it doesn't really matter. But it says a lencha pulun chanjurchi means karmic death. Karmic death. Karmic death. Karmic death or karma to purify the karma. Karma to purify the karma or karmic death. Death is like we owe money somebody, you have death. Critical death. Karmic death. This is what we're talking about here. Lencha pulun chanjurchi means I give you one or two examples. There will be hundreds of different karmic debt, but we're not going to do a lot of talking. Time is running away. So one of them is you're supposed to be mother, but you refuse to be mother, and you owe to be a mother. You're supposed to be father, but you didn't be father. You did not do the father. So you have, karmically, you have owed death because you didn't do when you are ready to do, you didn't do. And this is the karmic death. You also be a good mother, be a good father. You are karmically dead that you're supposed to save somebody's life and you did not save that. You owe to save somebody's life. Karmically, you're supposed to give big offering and share your material with others, especially some of them, because you owe them. You took them before yourself, now you owe them, but you refuse to do that. So you actually owe, like credit card, that you owe a lot of debts, but you refuse to pay in this lifetime. Those are all goes into karmic death. Karmic death. Karmic death. When we sacrifice, share things with the community, when we share things with the poverty, countries where there's no water, countries where there's no food, when we share things and donate monies, help them, you are paying karmic debt. You're paying the karmic debt. So the karmic debt is the more your karmic debt pay off, the counterpart is the wisdom. Your wisdom, your merit also side by side multiple or grow. And the more you earn karmic debt, your wisdom and merit reduces on the other side, less and less. These are the two, like scale, like weight. Scale, weight. You are here to accumulate positives and negatives. You will also reduce and completely purify it. You are here. But if you forgot your why you are here, why you are born in the human realm, to do good things for everybody, for yourself, for others, you refuse to do that. You want to do bad things for yourself, bad things for others, then the negative weight goes more bigger and the positive karma become smaller and then smaller. According to teachings of the Buddha, you are capable to do both, and you are capable to do one completely and one completely you can reduce. You are capable to do that. But the decision has been made by you, and it is your responsibility which direction you want to take. this way or this way. You make a decision. This is the teachings of the Buddha. So therefore, if we make a wrong decision, and unenlightened beings seems familiar with wrong decisions, are more suitable, more feel comfortable, because we're doing that for a long, long time. Whereas the positive direction seems like a unfamiliar, and our interest, our understanding is limited. So we may not really approach that direction much. And that was about a reason. You may see world we in, it's a more pain and suffering than enlightened being society. Whole society, all countries not look like enlightened beings, more like unenlightened beings. The why we see that is because the majority of people fail to do the positive way, and leaning towards do the one is the desire, attachment, and confusion. So this last sentence, it's called Lenja Pulung Sanjurje. Karmic death is also your own dirty cloth. I take that as example, dirty cloth. So you laundry them. If laundry doesn't wash, you then dry clean them. And if it's clean, then completely karmic death is over. The karmic death is completely pay off. It's another call enlightenment. It's also called liberation. It is not you that you have to liberate all sentient beings. It is you need to liberate. Liberate yourself, you can help others how to do it. If you are sick and you try to help others, you can help something, but you can't help fully because you are part of sick people, sick group. If you are blind, you can't help to show somebody a direction because you can't see clearly, even though you have a wonderful idea to help others. But how can you help others when you can't see yourself clearly? It is important that you practice detachment and liberate free from anxiety, free from suffering yourself in order to give your hand to other sentient beings who always need your help.